And a good Tuesday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you in part, as always, by The Law Group. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call, 910-251-6088. Well, as I mentioned yesterday on the show, it was slated and does continue to be a very busy week in Raleigh as the North Carolina General Assembly is back there dealing with a variety of issues. The biggest one is redistricting. And for those that have not been following what's going on, late last week, the North Carolina General Assembly Republicans in the General Assembly proposed new congressional maps, moving counties from the 1st to the 3rd congressional district to make the 1st more of a Republican stronghold, diluting a little bit of the 3rd to still give it a strong Republican advantage, but making the 1st more competitive. Right now, as it stands, the 1st congressional district is essentially a toss-up or a swing district, meaning that it's kind of a flip of a coin, roll of a dice. I mean, it's not a district that has a strong advantage for one party or the other, meaning that the incumbent, who is currently Don Davis, a Democrat, has a major advantage. And one of the things that Don Davis, to his credit, has actually been pretty smart in doing is he is not buying in to all of the kind of radical nonsense that you hear from the left. Is he a Democrat? Yes. Does he still sometimes do some things that may perk up your ears and whatnot? Sure. But he has been one of the Democrats that has consistently voted with Republicans in the United States House, as he understands that he is in a swing district. A lot of his constituents are Republicans. And I'm sure some of them voted for him. So he's been pretty smart in not being put into the same category as some of the other radical, crazy nonsense that's ongoing in Washington, D.C. He's made a very smart play, and an incumbent is always going to have an advantage. So we've seen this redistricting discussion nationwide unfold over the last couple of months. Before the summer really kicked off, you started hearing and started seeing public comment from those on the left that they were going to look at states like Minnesota and Illinois and begin the process, or at least look at the process of redistricting. As Democrats continue to fail to have any substantial ideas for their policy, their policies or platforms going forward, their solution to trying to win the midterm elections, which, by the way, they should win in a slam dunk. Midterm elections always, and I mean always, favor the party that is in the minority. As I sit here this morning, as I talk to you this morning, the Democrats are in the minority. Right? Republican Donald Trump sits in the Oval Office. John Thune is the leader in the North Carolina, in the United States Senate. He has the majority there. Mike Johnson, Speaker of the U.S. House, Republican majority there. So Democrats, from every historical modern election, should have a very successful midterm. People always tend to vote for the party in the minority. That's just how it goes. Why that's the case, you can break down a litany of reasons why that might be the case, but it is. So you would assume the party in the minority would be ratcheting themselves up for a strong showing in the midterm. That's what history would tell us. However, Democrats are not doing that. They are still trying to relitigate the 2024 presidential election. They spent this past weekend running around streets of the United States, a bunch of old white boomers running around streets of the United States, chanting about how Donald Trump is a king, Donald Trump is an authoritarian, he is destroying our democracy, so on and so forth. This is a party that is failing to meet the demands that I would assume they would want to meet heading into the midterms. I think Democrats that are high up understand that this is going to be a problem for them. So they started throwing around the idea of redistricting earlier this year. It's obvious to me that Donald Trump and the White House and top-level Republicans got wind of what was being discussed and said, okay, to contango. You guys want to redraw maps in places like Minnesota and Illinois to try and squeak out another maybe one or two House seats and give yourselves a better opportunity? Okay, two can play. Let's dance. So you saw the Texas legislature, which is controlled by Republicans, gavel in a special session to redraw maps. Democrats in Texas fled to Illinois to get safe harbor. They were like asylum seekers in Illinois, refused to show up for the job in which they were elected to do to try and block Republicans from passing their maps. That, of course, was a ploy that gained them some national media, but in the grand scheme of things, didn't really benefit them at all. The new maps are passed, and Texas drew more Republican seats. In response to that, California decided that they were going to put a proposition on their ballot this year, a special election, to essentially disband the independent legislative redistricting commission that the state of California has and give that authority to the California legislature, which, as you could believe, is exclusively controlled by Democrats. So now that Texas is in the fray, California is in the fray, you have got states now that have Republican and Democrat controlled legislatures saying, all right, everybody else wants to jump onto this battle, we're going to do the same thing. And that's exactly what North Carolina is embarking on right now. I'll get into a little bit of the merits of what's going on, but that is the groundwork. That is the foundation of what is going on right now. It started with Democrats floating around the idea of redistricting. Before they were able to do it, Texas jumped right in and said, okay, we'll fire the first shot then. If you guys want to sprinkle this out there as a rumor, if you want to try and bring this conversation to light, we'll play ball. We're not going to wait for you to do it first, and then we're going to respond. You want to talk about this? We'll jump in and play ball. And then we've seen some of the reaction since then. So as I mentioned, these are the new proposed congressional maps moving a couple of counties from the 3rd to the 1st congressional district. It weakens the 3rd, makes it less of a Republican advantage, and adds some of those counties to the 1st congressional district to give Democrats less of an advantage. So that was late last week when we got this proposed map from the Republican-led North Carolina legislature. So yesterday, as lawmakers were already planning on being back in Raleigh, we had a meeting at 10 o'clock yesterday morning of the Senate Elections Committee, which is a group that is responsible for maps. You could also call it the Redistricting Committee, but its name is the Senate Elections Committee. Senator Ralph Heiss, who is the Republican out of Mitchell County, that's out west, is one of the three co-chairs of said committee. He brought forth the map, proposed the map to his colleagues in the Senate Election Committee yesterday, and as I wrote over at CarolinaJournal.com yesterday, he didn't really mince any words. He didn't hold back as to what was going on. You can disagree with what Republicans are doing. You can disagree with the actions that they're taking, but they're not lying. As you're about to hear from Senator Ralph Heiss, he's not using any sort of deception tactics here to try and obfuscate the lead. It is very clear what he and Republicans are doing, and he's not shying away from it.
The motivation behind this redraw is simple and singular. Draw a new map that will bring an additional Republican seat to the North Carolina congressional delegation. Republicans hold a razor-thin margin in the United States House of Representatives. And if Democrats flip 4 seats in the upcoming midterm elections, they will take control of the House and torpedo President Trump's agenda. This is a political arms race that Republicans did not start. Democrats-controlled states across the country adopted far more aggressive gerrymanders that systematically diluted Republican votes. To take an example from last week alone, Barack Obama was featured in an ad campaign endorsing California Governor Gavin Newsom's efforts to double down on California's already severe political gerrymander. President Trump has called on Republican-controlled states across the country to fight fire with fire. This map answers that call. In fact, on Friday, President Trump signaled his support for this plan.
So that's Senator Ralph Heiss in the Senate Elections Committee yesterday describing the maps that have been redrawn and or at least proposed to have, they have been redrawn, now being proposed and brought forward to the members of the full body of the General Assembly, starting in the Senate, then working their way over to the House. And again, you can debate the merits of redrawing maps. You can discuss and bring up gerrymandering, which is the Democrats' favorite term in the world. They love the term gerrymandering. Oh, Republicans are gerrymandering. I'll just pull this up. This is the Illinois congressional map, in which you've got the 13th congressional district that goes almost from the state of Missouri to Indiana, literally splitting counties through Springfield and all through the state. I mean, it literally goes from one side of the state to the other, not in a one contiguous area, but through this weird line that goes through. So you can have these discussions about gerrymandering. You can discuss whether it's a good idea to redraw maps or not. One thing you cannot say is that Republicans in the North Carolina General Assembly are deceiving voters of North Carolina as to why this is happening and how this is happening. As Senator Heiss very clearly stated, this was what I just played for you, was the beginning of his comments to his Senate colleagues. The motivation behind this redraw is simple and clear. Draw a new map that will give an additional Republican seat to North Carolina's congressional delegation. It's not a secret. It's not being hidden. There's no sort of backroom, hush-hush, wink-wink discussion that's going on. It's right out in the public. It's not a secret. It's not a surprise. It's not a shock. And for anybody that says, redistricting, it should not be a political thing. Folks, you're saying that because you're on the losing side of the issue. Let's be perfectly clear and honest about North Carolina's constitution. It gives complete and total discretion to the North Carolina General Assembly to draw congressional maps. There is no independent redistricting commission. There is no third-party group that is responsible for it. In the state's constitution, it is the sole responsibility of the legislature. And I know those on the left don't like to hear this, but the legislature is inherently political. It is a literal political governing body. You elect people, R's and D's, across the state of North Carolina to make up North Carolina's legislature. It is, by definition, a very political process. You can disagree with that. You can say that you wish that that was different, that wasn't the case. But the reality is one that is very simple. It is the General Assembly's responsibility, the party that is in charge, the party that is in the majority, they have the right to draw maps solely. That is how the state constitution reads it, plain and simple. There's no rules being changed. There's no state law being broken. There's no blurring out lines in the state constitution to try and morph something that fits. No, it is expressly written in the constitution that it is the legislature's responsibility to draw maps. Nobody else's. Plain and simple. And so if you don't like the individuals that are drawing the maps, then I would call upon Democrats in North Carolina to win elections. If you want to be the party that is in charge of drawing maps, then you need to win a majority in both chambers of the North Carolina legislature. And that is something that Democrats have been woefully unsuccessful in doing now for well over a decade. They have lost the trust of North Carolina voters to lead state government. It is why, since 2010, Republicans have had a majority in the General Assembly and, in some cases, a supermajority. They, being the Democrats, have lost the trust of the North Carolina voter, plain and simple. Senator Ralph Heiss had some more on these maps themselves and some of the things that are changing.
The new congressional plan makes no changes to 12 of the 14 districts. The only districts that are changed in the new proposal are NC1 and NC3. The following changes in the new congressional plan consist of the following. Green, Lenore, Wayne, and Wilson counties are moved from District 1 to District 3. Beaufort, Carteret, Craven, Dare, Hyde, and Pamlico counties are moved from District 3 to District 1. To balance the population of the two districts, 4,853 people, according to the 2020 census numbers, out of the 204,576 in Onslow County, that is 2.4%, are moved from District 3 to District 1. The split occurs in Swansboro Precinct, leaving much of the town in one district, NC1, as possible, minimizing the municipal split. As I stated previously, the motivation behind this new plan is straightforward. The new congressional map improves Republicans' political strength in eastern North Carolina. It moves NC District 1 from a district where President Trump earned 51% of the vote in 2024 to 55% of the vote, an increase of 4 points. To balance strength, NC3 loses the same amount NC1 gains, 4 points, moving from a 60% presidential Trump performance in the previous map to a 56% performance in the new map. The end result is a congressional map that should perform to elect 11 Republicans. Not only does the new congressional map better improve Republican political strength in eastern North Carolina, giving Republican candidates a better opportunity to win in NC1, the new map adheres to traditional redistricting principles. Importantly, it is more compact than the current districts in all recognized measures.
So there are some of the more of the breakdowns on the percentages and the districts and the counties being shifted around to make the first more competitive for or give Republicans a greater advantage. The third being diluted just a little bit to move some of those counties over to the first congressional district. And again, you can disagree with what's going on. You can disagree with the actions taken. You cannot say that Republicans are using some sort of cloak and dagger routine to hide this away from the public. I mean, you've literally got the guy that drew the maps standing in front of the North Carolina Senate expressing exactly why this is happening. Literally saying, we are redrawing these maps, or map, singular map. We are redrawing these districts to give Republicans an advantage. And we're doing that in response to what's going on in states like California. So it's not a secret. It's not a surprise. As you can imagine, there is already the discussion of litigation. Democrats in North Carolina have had a, for the most part, a pretty successful campaign over the last couple of years called Sue Till Blue. It's not an official campaign, but it is something that they have done consistently. As they continue to lose power in the state, as they continue to convince voters in across the state, literally from the mountains to the coast, that their candidates are better in things like the General Assembly, instead of winning elections, they have decided to take to the legal system. So when something happens that Democrats don't like, which of course is the vast majority of things that come out of the General Assembly, instead of saying, oh, we need to elect better candidates, we need to come up with better ideas, we need to do this, we need to do that, they just sue. Sue till blue. You don't like what the GA is doing, we'll just bring lawsuits against them and get it in front of a favorable court. So a lawmaker in the North Carolina Senate brought this up yesterday. I thought this was an interesting question.
So Senator Hasek, my last comment and question for you. As a proud citizen and taxpayer of this great state, I'm extremely bothered that my hard-earned tax dollars, like I'm sure you do, go to costly litigation instead of going to education and, you know, roads and infrastructure and so many different things that we could do in for this great state. So how confident are you that this plan, once again, won't lead you to costly litigation, tax dollars, hard-earned tax dollars that are going to be used for litigation defending these maps, instead of using our money and being good stewards again and using those hard-earned tax dollars the right way?
You know, it's a really interesting question there from Democrat Senator Mutaba Muhammad, or Muchadaba, whatever the hell his name is. Senator Muhammad, a Democrat from Mecklenburg County. Surprise, surprise. I've got an interesting idea, Senator Muhammad. If you don't want hard-earned taxpayer dollars going towards litigation, then why don't you tell your friends on the in the Democrat Party to stop suing the state over every single map that is drawn? Don't you love the smug nature of Democrats? Well, aren't you concerned that these maps are going to be, there's going to be litigation? Aren't you concerned that hardworking taxpayer dollars are going to be wasted on litigation? What a disingenuous question. Senator Muhammad, if you're so freaking worried about hard-earned taxpayer dollars being used, then call the ACLU, call the NAACP, call all of your other Democrat interest groups that sue the state consistently and tell them to back off. Tell them to stop suing North Carolina after every single time a Republican lawmaker uses the bathroom in Raleigh. Now, but of course, Senator Muhammad won't do that. See, this is the great irony of those on the left. He is going to pontificate, and he is going to talk about how much he cares about the hard-earned taxpayer dollars here in North Carolina, yet he will completely bury the lead that it is his party. It is left-wing advocacy groups that have had the state in litigation for the last 15 years. No personal responsibility on that. No onus on the Democrat parties over, frankly, just losing elections. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what this comes down to. Democrats have been unsuccessful in getting majorities in the General Assembly. Their solution to that is not winning, it is suing. And somehow, the onus for their frivolous lawsuits are on Republicans. Republicans should stop doing things even though they're in the majority. Republicans should stop governing the way in which their constituents want to because they're in the majority. They should stop doing that because it costs the taxpayer money to fight off hack Democrat lawsuits, many of which Senator Muhammad would be fully in agreement of. That is a completely false dichotomy that is being brought up here. Very, very disingenuous, smug, typical line of questioning from the Democrats. As, by the way, we're supposed to believe, and I'm supposed to believe, that Senator Muhammad gives a damn about taxpayers being saved money here in North Carolina. These are tax and spend Democrats in one of the most liberal progressive hellholes in our state, Mecklenburg County, where I'll note four people were killed over the weekend, including a three-year-old child who was severely injured in a drive-by shooting. Maybe Senator Muhammad should spend some more time worrying about the death and destruction in Mecklenburg County in which he represents instead of suing the General Assembly over maps. I don't know. Maybe that's just a crazy idea from me.
All I can say is I am confident that these maps will be upheld by the courts. By the federal courts. I'm assuming that's where someone would try to bring cases by the rulings of the U.S. Supreme Court, by the rulings of the panels we've had on the 4th. I am confident that these meet the laws. I can't determine beyond that, once we're in compliance, why I'm responsible for defending litigation when our maps are perfectly legal, I don't understand. But we will defend these maps, and I am confident that they will be upheld by the courts.
A great response there from Senator Heist. First of all, it's not his responsibility to have to deal with frivolous Democrat lawsuits. And as he stated, they will defend these maps that they drew legally as far as possible. We're not going to roll over to your ridiculous lawsuits that you bring forward. So this hearing took place in the North Carolina Senate. Again, this is the Elections Committee that you are watching and listening to yesterday morning. It then approved. It went out of this committee and then made its way over to the full North Carolina Senate, where it received a successful vote. There will be an additional vote this morning. It passed 25-20. And so, listening to the line of questioning, of which I didn't grab any more because it was kind of in the weeds. But one of the things that I continually heard from the public, and I've got a bunch of clips of the public comment coming up, and from Democrat lawmakers, people like Sidney Batch and others, was that, and is that, North Carolina is a 50-50 state. I heard this probably a dozen times in a variety of different venues yesterday, whether it was this committee, whether it was on the floor of the North Carolina Senate yesterday. I heard this phrase over and over again. North Carolina is a 50-50 state. And so I heard this and I started thinking to myself, that's an interesting thing to say. Is North Carolina a 50-50 state? Democrats want to believe that it is because they believe that it bolsters their point that they should have more power. But when the rubber meets the road, in actual practical terms, North Carolina is not. I can come on the air this morning and confidently say to you that North Carolina is not a 50-50 state. And there is little, if any, evidence to back up the claim that is made by those on the political left. You can say whatever you want. You can make the claim. You can scream out to the public that North Carolina is a 50-50 state. But some data would have to back that up. And in the case of what we are witnessing right now, in the case of what we have witnessed over the last couple of years in the North Carolina General Assembly and across the state, it is blatantly clear and obvious to somebody that is looking at it objectively that North Carolina is anything but a 50-50 state. Unlike those on the left, I've got some of the data, numbers, and evidence to back up my claims. We'll get into those coming up here in just a couple of minutes. I want to remind you that the Nick Craig Show streams live a weekday morning, 7 a.m. YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Of course, also available in your favorite podcast app. If you enjoy what you are hearing or watching and are interested in getting additional content, including a daily show notes and financially supporting the show, I encourage you to head on over to patreon.com/Nick Craig. You can support the show $5, $10 a month. We're here typically 5 days a week. You can support that over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. We'll get a quick word from Wilmington City Councilman Luke Waddell, and we'll get into this discussion. Is North Carolina a 50-50 political state? We'll continue the discussion coming up after this as the Nick Craig Show rolls on a Tuesday morning, streaming live, YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Luke Waddell, and I'm running for re-election to Wilmington City Council. 4 years ago, I promised strong, principled leadership. Leadership focused on public safety, infrastructure, and fiscal responsibility. I have worked every day to deliver on that promise, voting against unnecessary tax increases and wasteful spending while strongly supporting our police and fire departments. I'm ready to continue working for you. Please go to the polls and vote Luke Waddell for Wilmington City Council. Thank you.
Paid for by committee to elect Luke Waddell.
And a good Tuesday morning to you. Welcome back to the Nick Craig Show. Thanks for spending some time with us this morning, whether you're joining us live or via podcast, as we continue our redistricting discussion and an overall broader question. I phrase it as a question. Democrats phrase it as a fact, a statement that North Carolina is a 50-50 state. And as they made those comments a variety of times yesterday, it got me thinking. It started turning the wheels. Is North Carolina a 50-50 state? So I started digging into some of the numbers and some of the data. And in fact, if you actually objectively look at any data or any evidence, it is clear and obvious to anybody that North Carolina is not a 50-50 state. Since 1980, there have been 12, including the 1980 presidential election. There have been 12 presidential elections in North Carolina. And again, we are under the premises, based on the comments from the left, that North Carolina is a 50-50 state. Since 1980, the state has chosen Republican presidents 11 out of 12 times, minus 2008, when Barack Obama narrowly won the state. He would then not win it in 2012. But that is 11-1 Republican over Democrat in presidential elections over the last 45 years. That is a 91% advantage for Republicans compared to Democrats. And so if North Carolina was a 50-50 state, as we're said to believe, as we're told is a fact, 50-50 state, don't you think that Democrats would have won a couple more presidential elections? Literally, the only one is Obama in 2008, going back 45 years. That doesn't sound like numbers that back up the fact that we are in a 50-50 state. That doesn't lend itself to this discussion, this conversation, that we're in a 50-50 state at all. And when you look at just the last couple of presidential elections, Trump won with 51% in 2016, 50% in 2020, and 51-48 in 2024. North Carolina was the first battleground state to be called in favor of President Trump. Doesn't sound like a 50-50 state at all. And so the question is simple. If North Carolina was a 50-50 state, don't you think voters would have chosen more than one Democrat presidential candidate in the last 45 years? Seems plausible. If flip of a coin, if the voters are pretty evenly split down the middle, then you would believe, and rightfully so, that the state would have selected more than one Democrat presidential candidate, yet it hasn't. So if North Carolina, once again, was a 50-50 state, why is it that Republicans currently hold a supermajority in the North Carolina Senate, where the numbers break down as following? 30 Republicans to 20 Democrats. That is a supermajority threshold, meaning that there are enough Republicans in the North Carolina Senate to override a veto from the governor. Back in the early 90s, which, by the way, Roy Cooper was an integral part in, the state of North Carolina introduced the veto, which they hadn't had prior to the 1990s, introduced the veto, but also put in some checks and balances on that, saying that if there is a 3/5 majority of a party in the chamber, each chamber of the General Assembly, they have a supermajority and they can override a veto, meaning that they are the ones that have control. So currently there are 30 Republicans in the Senate compared to 20 Democrats. That is a supermajority threshold. In the North Carolina House, there are 71 Republicans compared to 49 Democrats. That is one vote shy of the supermajority. And if you look at the math, or you look at the numbers over the last couple of years, Republicans have consistently had close to or supermajorities. Back in 2012, there were 77 Republicans in the North Carolina House. 74 in 2014, 74 in 2016. And now they've had the 71 the last two elections, 2022 and 2024. And in the North Carolina Senate, they've had 30 since 2022 as well. Does that sound like a 50-50 state to you? Does that sound like a state that is pretty evenly split down the middle? Not at all. A state that has overwhelmingly chosen Republican candidates for president. A state that since 2010 has consistently given Republicans a majority, sometimes a supermajority, in both chambers of the General Assembly. And a state that currently has 10 Republican congressmen in Washington, D.C. Ladies and gentlemen, I will contend to you this morning that North Carolina is anything but a 50-50 state. Now, if you look at voter registration numbers, you might be of the mindset that North Carolina is a 50-50 state. If you look at pure voter registration numbers, you might believe that. There are 2.311 million registered Democrats, 2.303 million registered Republicans, and 2.93 registered unaffiliated voters. So when you look at that number, you would say, oh yeah, look at that. Republicans and Democrats are essentially tied. There's less than an 11,000 registration difference between Democrats and Republicans. However, when you look at the unaffiliated, which is, by the way, the largest block of voters in our state at almost 3 million, that is a group that has been leaning more to the right in recent years. That is a group that, at least on national elections, whether you're talking about Ted Budd's Senate victory back a couple of years ago, whether you look at President Donald Trump's re-election back in November of last year, that unaffiliated group of voters that have not chosen to be closely aligned with either the Republican or Democrat Party, there are more unaffiliated voters that lean to the right and vote for Republicans than there are those that lean to the left and vote for Democrats. That is what the data, that is what the numbers back up. And even looking at the registration data itself, since January of 2024, Democrats have lost more than 107,000 individuals registered as Democrats. At the same time, Republicans have gained 74,000+ individuals that have decided to register as Republicans. And there is a strong likelihood that by the end of this year, could happen in the next couple of weeks, that Republicans will overtake Democrats in terms of party registration. This is what the numbers currently look like. There's a very strong possibility that that less than 11,000 vote difference, not vote, but registration difference between Republicans and Democrats will be met by the end of the year. So then the way that the party registration will rank is unaffiliated, even though it's not a party, but unaffiliated Republican and Democrat. And that number is continuing to trend in favor of Republicans. So, again, the statement, North Carolina is a split right down the middle of the road, 50-50 state. I can't find any evidence to back up the claim that was made by multiple members of the North Carolina Senate yesterday, multiple members of the public. I just can't find any evidence or data to back it up. Yeah, I would, again, look at elections, look at numbers, look at data to back up that point. And for those on the political left, that data just doesn't exist. And even if you go outside of North Carolina and you look at things like the Cook Political Report, which is a very well-known and very well-established kind of survey of the state, North Carolina scores an R+3, meaning the state is a lean red. It is not a toss-up. It is a lean red. And we have seen over the last couple of election cycles, and I would make the argument at this point, that North Carolina is a state that continues every single election to lean more and more towards Republicans. The state, I don't remember what time it was. I was up in Raleigh working for the Carolina Journal on election night. But I mean, when was North Carolina called? Like 9 p.m.? I mean, it was the first of seven so-called swing states to be called in favor of Donald Trump. That is not a state that is split 50-50. That is not a state that is flip of a coin who wins. That is a state that is red and is trending more red. And when you look at the presidential election, I put this image out on my X account yesterday. This is how the 2024 presidential election shook up in terms of counties that voted in favor of one presidential candidate or the other. Does this look like a 50-50 state to you? I mean, just look at the map. You've got New Hanover, unfortunately, down here in Wilmington, Mecklenburg County, Wake, Durham, Chatham, a couple of counties surrounding Raleigh up in the northeast section of the state, Fayetteville, Cumberland County, two counties out west that voted for Harris over Trump. Does this look like a 50-50 state to you? I mean, I'm just, for those listening, you're looking at a breakdown of all 100 counties in North Carolina with red if they supported Donald Trump more than Harris, and blue if they supported Harris over Trump. Nothing that I have seen, none of the data, none of the evidence that I've looked at backs up or supports this claim any way, shape, or form. Case in point, the presidential election that happened less than a year ago. This is not a map. These are not colors and images that paint that North Carolina is a 50-50 state. And so why are Democrats making said claim? They are of the mindset that by claiming that North Carolina is a 50-50 state, which I have just clearly and well established is not, that the state's congressional delegation, which is 14 due to the census, we are allocated 14 members to Congress, that should be split 7-7. They are of the mindset that, again, under this 50-50 slate, we should have 7 Republicans in Congress and 7 Democrats in Congress. That's what they are pushing for. That is what they are advocating for. That is what they want. Now, are there a lot of Democrats in North Carolina? Yes. But folks, the way that elections work, now, when you look at things like Congress, for example, a little bit different when you look at the president and other things, but you look at Congress and you look at the General Assembly, those votes happen by districts. And so where are the vast majority of Democrat voters living? I mean, you can see it's blatantly obvious. They're living in Raleigh, Wilmington, Fayetteville, Charlotte, Greensboro, and up on the northeast border of the state with Virginia. You have got a dense population of Democrats in urban centers like Wake, like Mecklenburg, over in the Greensboro area near Fort Bragg and Fayetteville. You've got a dense population of Democrats in major urban areas. That leaves the rest of the state to be easily and clearly controlled by Republicans, plain and simple. But even without the dense population, say, oh, well, that's inaccurate. You know, the Democrats live elsewhere. Then why has the state chosen just one Democrat presidential candidate in 45 years if this is such a 50-50 state? Nothing that I have been able to find. And by the way, I'm open to changing my viewpoint and my opinion on that. Somebody listening out there has data and evidence to back up the claim that North Carolina is a 50-50 state, I am all ears. I am willing, capable, and able, and actually would like to look at data objectively and see if I can change my mindset or change my opinion on it. But I have not been given any of that evidence, and I haven't been able to find any evidence to back that up. So now we go back to the North Carolina General Assembly in this meeting yesterday that took place. And I pulled some of my favorite clips from the public comment period that took place, as you had, Senator Ralph Heiss not mincing words as to what is going on, being very clear and obvious as to what the Republicans are doing, why they are doing it, what the goals and what the objectives are. And so after the back and forth questioning, after some of the comments from lawmakers, they did exactly what you would expect government to do. They opened the floor for individuals to comment publicly on the maps. And after an hour of public comment, this looked just like all of the No Kings protests over the weekend. It was a predominantly old white crowd bitching and complaining about maps being drawn by Republicans. Let's get through some of this, a little bit of comic relief on your Tuesday morning.
You are doing this for a president who is shredding the Constitution and the rule of law every single day. A president who put on an AI-generated image of himself flying over the country, wearing a crown, dropping excrement on the United States, on people in the United States. And that is what he is doing every single day. Immigrants and United States citizens are being brutally assaulted by ICE. The troops that he is sending in are tear gassing families, children, peaceful protesters. That is what is happening here. And if you pass this, your legacy will be shredding the Constitution, destroying democracy, the last shred of democracy that is allowed in North Carolina. We should have 7 Republicans and 7 Democrats in the Congress representing us. And we're letting Donald Trump decide who represents the people of North Carolina. And that's why we're going to have 307,000 people in North Carolina lose Medicaid and 375,000 people in North Carolina lose food aid.
Okay. I'm not going to attempt to dispel all of the comments from all of these speakers. I'd be here for the next 6 hours doing so. But in just the minute and 9 seconds that this wonderful lady spoke, you heard literally every single Democrat talking point against Trump. He's literally dropping excrement on the United States. He is shredding the Constitution. He is destroying our democracy. ICE is brutalizing United States citizens and immigrants. The National Guard is tear gassing children. Oh my God. Haven't heard or seen any of that. I guess if you are a parent who is supposed to be an adult and decide to bring your kids to an anti-ICE protest and you get tear gassed. I mean, I guess you could fit the bill of that, but I haven't read any stories about DHS sending in National Guard troops to people's houses and shooting a bunch of tear gas canisters. I must have missed that in the busy news cycle. And then, of course, everybody's losing their health care. And you heard the line again. North Carolina should have 7 Republicans and 7 Democrats in Congress. There's no evidence to back that up. There is nothing that claims, there is nothing that you can point to indicate that this state is split evenly 50-50. Let's hear from, oh, look at the diversity here. Another white woman. Huh, what a shock.
Redistricting has always been about keeping the powerful in power at the expense of those with the least power, the people of color, the marginalized.
Yes.
This is about racism. Stop messing with our maps. Stop creating racist maps. Let the people decide.
Well, I would argue that the people have decided. They have given Republicans a supermajority or majority in the General Assembly now for 15 freaking years. Let the people decide. That is coded, aka, we lost and we don't like what you're doing. The people have decided, lady. They have given Republicans the exclusive control of the North Carolina General Assembly. We are not required to pander and bow down to your wants, your needs, and your demands. We're in charge. The voters of North Carolina have consistently decided that they want Republicans to lead the legislature, not Democrats. Plain and simple. So the people have decided. What the hell? Oh, and of course, always, we've heard this from Democrats for well over a decade at this point. This is being done. It's racist. Ah, yes. The good old R word. Anything and everything that is happening has to come back to race on for the Democrats. They've got nothing else that they can talk about. No other merits that they can discuss. When in doubt, pull the fire alarm and yell racist. You know, the break in case of emergency. You see the little glass, little hammer below it, break in case of emergency. That's what the Democrats do with the word racist. When you've got nothing else to go on, when all else fails, break glass and yell racist. Ah, yes. That will get everybody all riled up and push your point forward. Our next speaker says that Republicans will be on the opposite side of this, and he's going to make sure that that happens.
Yet, you find time to redraw these maps to steal more seats from us again.
Stealing
How
them.
Can you feel so shameless in doing this? You may feel invincible, but let me tell you something. We are coming for you. When Democrats held a majority on the North Carolina Supreme Court, partisan gerrymandering was ruled illegal.
Yes,
and we're going to reelect Anita Earls to the Supreme Court in 2026. In 2028, we're going to kick your partisan hacks off of the Supreme Court, including Phil Berger's son. And when we do, you all are going to be out on your ass because you know that you can't win when you play fair. You wouldn't be cheating if you could win if you played fair. So heed this warning. When we're back in power, we're going to remember how you treated us.
And so this was kind of an interesting little, I was going to call it an exchange, but an interesting comment. And I actually will give this speaker some credit. He is right. Not with the invincibility or stealing the elections or any of that other nonsense. Yes, if and when Democrats are back in power, they will do the exact same thing. Correct. That is how the political game works. It is, unfortunately, mutual destruction. But again, what is the alternative here? Right? We've seen the alternative play out. Democrats change the rules, Democrats decide what is good or not, and Republicans aren't allowed to play by the same game. We're supposed to just sit back and go, well, you guys are allowed to do this stuff. You're allowed to change the statute of limitation. You're allowed to weaponize the DOJ. You're allowed to do all of this stuff. And we're just going to sit back and be good old Republicans and take the high road. Donald Trump has given Republicans courage to say, to hell with that. We're not going to do that anymore. You guys want to play by a new set of rules. We're down. We're ready to play as well. And by the way, this notion that that Democrats are going to take back control of the North Carolina Supreme Court is nothing more than a pipe dream. There is a very, very small likelihood of that happening. But I guess for the left, they can continue on that. So again, these maps are racist, as was well established throughout this entire hearing and period yesterday. How about a little white guilt to bring everything home? Take a listen to this.
Senator Hines is racist, and his purpose is clear: to silence our voices. Redistricting is taking away the voices of hardworking minorities for the racist Republican agenda. And I'm here asking you to stop giving Republicans seats that mathematically do not represent the people. Senator Hines, you are a racist. You are harming the hardworking people of North Carolina. Senator Hines, I dare you to actually request the public to vote on your ridiculous and stupid attempt to silence our voices. We will not be silenced.
Well, his name is Senator Ralph Heise, not Hines. It's H-I-S-E. There's no N in there. So now we're not talking about a ketchup brand. Senator Ralph Heise is a racist. Very intellectual. Folks, I have come to an epiphany after listening to this clip. I am wrong about everything. I'm switching my party affiliation from Republican to Democrat. I have finally seen the light. That 44-second comment that you are a racist, the map is a racist, you are, of course, as always, break glass in case of emergency, you are hurting minorities. It is the same stupid, ridiculous talking points over and over and over again. You are a racist. Ah, yes. As if Democrats have anything to talk about in terms of race. As if Democrats, looking back at their history, have any ability to talk about racism, as they were the party championing and leading on racism. But yes, it is now, of course, like always, the Republicans' fault. Plain and simple, always has been, always will be. How about another?
I was born an American citizen, but I'm a North Carolina resident by choice.
Ah, carpetbag.
Really? 11 Republican seats out of 14? Is that what democracy looks like to you? That is not what democracy looks like to me. And I've been trying to understand why this honorable legislative body wants to take away the voice from North Carolinians. The only reason that I can think of that makes sense to me is that you're afraid. Because make no mistake, this bullying legislation comes from fear. First, you fear the people of North Carolina. And I don't know why. I love the people of North Carolina. In fact, I just met up with 900 of my besties in Clayton Town Green on Saturday. Second, you are afraid of President Trump. Afraid of the U.S. president just when we need you to be brave. I ask you now to please don't do this to our people. You have nothing to fear but fear itself.
Yeah, great line there. She seems like an independent voter. She met up with 900 of her besties in Clayton, North Carolina, suburb of Raleigh, at the No Kings protest on Saturday. A very objective voice. Question coming in our chat for those watching. What about the woman sitting in front raising red and white sheets of paper? She is giving them I don't remember what it was, maybe 90 seconds or 60 seconds to speak. She was warning the speakers how much time they have left. So I should have mentioned that. Thanks for catching that. So the legislature is afraid of the citizens of North Carolina. I'll show you once again, exhibit number A, as how the state voted for president based on county in 2024. Why the hell would the Republican-led legislature be afraid of the people of North Carolina? They gave them a supermajority in the North Carolina Senate and 71 votes in the North Carolina House. Under what reality are Republicans afraid of the voters of North Carolina who have consistently given them majorities for 15 years? Why are Republicans, why is Senator Ralph Hines, as we learned, why is Senator Ralph Hines shaking in his boots over the voters of North Carolina. It makes no sense. None of these things are based in any sort of reality. The state of North Carolina, over the last 45 years, has voted for every Republican presidential candidate minus Barack Obama in 2008. What are Republican lawmakers so afraid of? No logic whatsoever. Our final comment comes from a 19-year-old who is a student at the University of Charlotte. He's pretty fired up. Let's take a listen.
Today is a dark day for North Carolina.
It's a dark day for our democracy. The darkest of days, I might even add. Isn't every day a dark day? I mean, it must suck being a Democrat right now. I'll be the first to admit. Every single day is the darkest day that's ever hit North Carolina and the state and the country and the world with the authoritarian king dictator Donald Trump in the Oval Office. It's a dark day for North Carolina. Oh, so dark.
Today is a dark day for North Carolina. People who dare to call themselves public servants are showing us who they really serve. Not the people, but Donald Trump. Republicans here in Raleigh are preparing to pass a new congressional map that is designed to hand Donald Trump another MAGA congressional district.
Correct.
And they are doing this while North Carolina has not had a state budget for 100 days. Rather than fully funding Medicaid, rather than raising teacher pay or doing their jobs, they are wasting precious time and taxpayer dollars, bending the knee to Donald Trump and ripping away the voice of the voters. It is shameful. It is pathetic. You are shameful. You are pathetic. I call on anyone listening to this right now. Please register to vote. Get involved and vote these clowns out of office.
Well, unfortunately for the 19-year-old college student, take a little bit of a look at history here. Again, I'll pull up Exhibit A one more time for you here. This is the map of the 2024 presidential election broken down by 100 counties. Looks like the people did speak. Looks like the voters of North Carolina have spoken. They are overwhelmingly in favor of Donald Trump and the Republicans. So I would contend and make the argument that Republicans in Raleigh are doing exactly what voters would want them to do, which is to prevent Democrats from taking control of the United States House, not by just winning on merits, not by winning on ideas, but by redrawing maps in places like California, Illinois, Minnesota, the list goes on, to try and pack the elections for themselves. This whole process I find to be absolutely fascinating. And I said it kind of tongue-in-cheek, but I mean it genuinely. And I think this is a major problem for the Democrat Party. I was texting with a buddy on this last night. Their whole agenda and everything that they're about is the sky is falling. I mean, folks, we have literally heard this now, and I don't use that word very often. I'm not somebody that uses literally all the time. But for literally the last 10 years plus, we have heard the same reused, washed up talking points from those on the political left. Donald Trump is a king. He's an authoritarian. He is a dictator. He is destroying our democracy. He is shredding our Constitution. He is stealing elections. He is doing this. He is doing that. It is a constant sky is falling mentality from those on the political left, constantly. And I think at this point that unaffiliated voters, as we just talked about, the largest group of those in the state, I think unaffiliated voters that might lean maybe a little bit left or pretty square in the middle hear this constant end of democracy, end of the republic, end of the United States at the hands of Donald Trump, and are just kind of fed up and sick of hearing it. None of this stuff has come to fruition. I know you guys can pat yourselves on the back and say that you stood up against democracy. None of the crap that you've talked about has come to fruition. Donald Trump isn't a king. He's not an authoritarian. He's not a dictator. He's not shredding the Constitution. He's not destroying our democracy. And when you use those same talking points for a decade, it is really hard to get people to believe what you're saying. We're all familiar with the boy who cried wolf. Democrats are the boy right now. They have been screaming wolf, talking about the wolf for a decade. The wolf has never existed. It's never come to reality. And it's the same. These are just the same reused talking points. And I think it is going to severely hamper them in the midterm elections. I really do. It's far away. I'm not making a prognostication right now, 13 months away, that Republicans are going to have a great midterm. I'm not going to do that. But this is pathetic. If I was a Democrat right now that was able to critically think, none of the idiots that you just heard in the General Assembly, but if I was a Democrat capable of critical thinking, I would be mortified with what I'm seeing from my party right now. They spent Saturday dressed in frog costumes, running around the United States, protesting against a king of which the United States does not have. More than 11 months after the presidential election in which they lost 1 year, a little over a year ago. This is a really, really bad spot for those in the political left. They have no new ideas. They have no new policies. They have nothing interesting to say or talk about. And I think it is going to severely hamper them as we head into the midterms. Voters are looking for ideas. Even voters that are not enthused with Donald Trump, maybe they don't love what he's doing. They look over at the Democrats and they say, what the hell are you guys doing? What are you guys standing for? What is your policy platform? No kings? Your whole political identity, your whole political agenda is no kings, protecting democracy? That's not a policy. That's not a platform. That's not a stance that's going to win you support of voters at all. Yet that's all they've got. That's what they're continuing with. And as the day went on yesterday, this plan made its way to the North Carolina Senate in typical grandstanding fashion. The Senate Democrats tried to adjourn multiple times. It all failed. They tried bringing up amendment after amendment on these maps. Surprise, surprise, they all failed again. The voters have spoken, given Republicans a majority. And then when they didn't get their way, the gallery had to be cleared because Democrats were yelling, shame, 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 shame. And this is going to continue today. I caught a post from a good buddy of mine. You'll remember her, AP Dillon, over at the North State Journal. She's also got a Substack, apdillon.substack.com. This is a series of emails from the North Carolina Democrat Party yesterday. It says, quote, Republicans just moved up their timeline. The North Carolina Senate will vote Monday on new gerrymandered maps, and it's likely that the House will vote on Tuesday. We've got action for you to take both days. They're cheating, plain and simple. We can't let them get away with it. So they go through the schedule on Monday, but then headed on over to Tuesday, the North Carolina House will take up the maps at 11:30. And so the Democrat Party is running free buses from Asheville, Charlotte, Wilmington, Greensboro, Elizabeth City, and Rocky Mount to bus in a bunch of left-wing agitators and protesters to Raleigh to try and disturb the General Assembly. Now, folks, I can tell you very clearly how this is going to go down. These idiots, as you have seen all the time, will start chanting shame or cheater or something from the gallery. Then the entire gallery will be cleared. Republicans who have the majority will vote in favor of the maps, which they will, and they will be in place, because the governor cannot veto congressional maps. So all of this effort, all of this grandstanding, all this bitching and complaining, and the reality is they have no say-so whatsoever. The grandstanding will continue. The out-of-control rhetoric will continue. The constant sky is falling will continue. And again, I think this severely will hurt the Democrat Party moving forward. So the Senate is supposed to be back in at around 9 o'clock this morning. They've got to take a third vote before this stuff makes it over to the House. And likely by the end of this week, we will see these new congressional maps go into place. And as you can probably imagine, Democrats will immediately bring against a litigation and sue the state of North Carolina. So that is what we are tracking in the North Carolina General Assembly over the next couple of days. I'll keep you up to date with it, up to date with all of that right here on the show. And again, if you are a user of X, really, you can keep up to date with a lot of this stuff. Follow me over there at Nicholas M. Craig, and I'll keep you up to date with what goes on today and over the next couple of days out of Raleigh. So that's it. North Carolina is not a 50-50 state. I'm open to ideas. I'm a critical thinker. I'm open to my mind being changed. I'm open to new information. Just haven't seen any proposed. North Carolina, to the chagrin of Democrats, to the chagrin of progressives, is not a 50-50 state. And as a result, you do not get 50-50 representation. Plain and simple. It's a state that is leaning more and more red each and every election cycle. So share this show around. I think it's an interesting one in terms of the overall political discussion, and I encourage you to tell your friends, family, anybody that is politically engaged and involved to listen to the show here live weekday morning, 7 a.m., YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and of course, 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts. It's only made possible thanks to the law group here in Wilmington. We thank them for their continued support. Give them a call, 910-251-6088, or visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. That's going to do it for a Tuesday edition of the Nick Craig Show. We're back here tomorrow morning live and via podcast. Have a great Tuesday. We'll chat with you tomorrow.